It's Gallery on the 72 Bypass. Gosh, it's been a busy, busy, busy day. Price of gold is kind of low, kind of down, but people have been coming in afraid they might lose that wave, so they want to catch it while they can. So come see us today. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. And today our very special guest is Mark Warner. He is the Partnership of Alliance Director, Executive Director here, and he's with us to tell us all about some interesting projects, I'm sure. You know, Mark, you just finally unveiled Project Smoke. I guess there is a fire there after all.
Looks like it, finally.
Yeah. So that's exciting.
It's nice to see some construction going on and you know, bring some construction jobs, and it's, yeah, I guess the fact that Kohl's finally put up a sign announcing their opening date,
yes. That
I think we can talk about the fact that Project Smoke is Kohl's.
Kohl's and Ross, and yes, and PetSmart,
mm-hmm.
Yes, and
yep.
A shoe place.
Yep.
So it's going to be a good-sized facility. You wouldn't have thought, just looking at that piece of property, that many things could have gone in there.
It's amazing what you can do with 16 acres, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it is, but it didn't look that big just
right.
Looking at it with the
right.
Land there.
Yeah.
But that certainly is going to change the dynamics of that whole area.
Yeah, I think it definitely will. You know, it's probably the biggest parcel of land in that area that really had any development on it. And, of course, I can go back in our files that predate me,
mm-hmm.
with the partnership, and I started in 2007, but I see files going back to 2005 with projects of a variety of names.
Did they have as good a name as you come up with, Mark?
Of course not.
I mean, you really work hard on these names to fake everybody out.
Sometimes I have to work harder than others, and sometimes it's just stream of consciousness.
Well, you know, I know that this is thrilling, and, of course, that's pretty much going to be up this fall.
Yeah.
Correct?
That's correct.
We're going back into September. That should be done and ready, and stores will be open there. So that's certainly going to change the holiday season and, of course, some of the back-to-school, although a lot of back-to-school will already be done.
Yeah.
But, you know, the one thing that I am glad to hear is that 1 cent sales tax, since you guys got more businesses in here, we're going to be able to do away with that. I think it's the end of June.
Yeah, actually, that was probably a pretty interesting story. And, of course, that was put in place before I got here, too. But I think everybody, I hope, has heard it was put in place to fund the construction of the new county library and to make the required repairs to the fuse plug and the spillway at Buzzard Roost.
Sure.
And that tax is called a sunset tax because it will sunset when it raises the targeted amount, mm-hmm. or 7 years. And we're way ahead of schedule, and that it was generating, if you look at the county website, showing $8.1 to $8.2 million a year generated, you know, to raise that. And you know, the other good news there is about 40 cents of every dollar comes from folks that don't live in Greenwood County.
Sure. But, you know, I think the thing that was interesting about that, just for the record, when TJ Maxx opened and Hobby Lobby and Michael's and everything, one of the announcements I made on the radio was that I certainly knew that we would be retiring that sales tax very soon because they were here in town, and they have made a big, big difference, I'm sure. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, we continue to see it. There's a large number of people that commute in here,
mm-hmm.
every day, and the hospital and the healthcare system draws a lot of people from the surrounding area. And, I mean, we continue to draw folks in here that, or not only they're coming to work, they're coming to dine, they're coming to shop,
sure.
So and have their health care needs taken care of. So it's a good story.
Absolutely, it is. Hey, you know, we are right here at Sharp Facets. We are talking with Mark Warner. I've got him cornered for this hour. That's right. If you have a question you want to ask Mark, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. All you got to do is give us a call, and we'll get that question right here to him. But in the meantime, I've got questions for Mark about some of the things that are going on. Now, y'all just did a DVD about Greenwood County, South Carolina, the special edition DVD, and you are the voice of this. You did it. It's a good piece. It shows a lot of good manufacturing, and the purpose of the piece was to do what?
The purpose of the piece was to show people that manufacturing still happens in the U.S., mm-hmm. and particularly in Greenwood. Sometime last fall, Kelly McWhorter called me, and Carl White with Life in the Carolinas was in town doing some filming for some of the other segments they've done for their show on Greenwood, and he wanted to come by and meet me, and I said, send him over about 4:45, chat for a few minutes, then I'll be done and gone. And we started talking, and we were still talking at 7:30 that night. And one of the things Carl talked about, well, I was telling him about the county, and he wanted to know who some of the employers were, and I start going down the long list, and he said, that sounds like manufacturing. I said, yeah, we've got a good bit, and we talked about the diversity of it, you know, from the different kinds of industries and products that we make here. He said, well, you know, when I travel around the Carolinas and I go to all these small communities like yours, everybody says manufacturing's gone. And I said, well, far from it. And he said, I've always wanted to do a show saying that manufacturing's still being done. I said, okay, what do we need? And he said, I need a number of companies that will let us come in and talk to folks and do some filming. And so there we went, and we had six or eight of our manufacturers volunteered to let us come in, and you can imagine we've probably got to do a 30-minute show somewhere close to 60 hours of videotape that was done. So you, I've got a new appreciation for what editors do.
Absolutely, yeah. But, you know, you featured, what, Fuji, Eaton?
Fuji, Eaton, Center Manufacturing, Ascend Performance Materials, Itron, SPF.
Right.
I may be missing somebody. I'm doing it from memory, but
sure.
We have both Eaton. There's an Eaton electrical facility and Eaton hydraulics. And we had folks from both of those that we talked to, and we went purely with the companies that said, "Yeah, we'll help you." Oh, I'm sorry, forgetting one, Covidian. I knew I'd forget
right.
somebody, but I think that was the rundown, and you know, we probably went from an hour or two in some places, and I think they spent almost a full day at Fuji, because you can imagine,
oh, absolutely,
you know, trying to see everything that they do.
Well, and of
there.
Course, I think the neat thing about Fuji is how, well, all manufacturing has to evolve, but how Fuji has evolved. And, you know, at some points there's been questions, are they going to be here?
Mm-hmm.
And they've been able to say, yes, we can still use the facility and change it up. So from that standpoint, that's been quite a testament to Fuji, but also to Greenwood to keep them right here.
Well, and if you listen to Alan Creighton's piece in there, and he talks about how Fuji got started. They originally intended to build one plant.
Right.
With an $80 million investment, and they've built, since then, nine plants. Their total capital investment is a little over $1.5 billion. That's with a B,
right.
billion dollars. And you're right, they have continued to evolve and to figure out, you know, how to keep, you know, people employed and a successful business.
Sure, because I think that's one of the biggest things we've seen in our area is we've seen where businesses have just left, and
mm-hmm.
there's been eyesores left there. And now, as you and I were talking about before we came on the air, that actually one of your problems right now is a lot of these facilities have been used, and companies are always looking for facilities they can just move into.
That's the way the market in our business right now, and I talked to the folks in the Department of Commerce in Columbia, obviously a lot,
mm-hmm.
But they tell us that about 70% of the projects that they're seeing right now are still looking for an existing building, and that's getting to be a challenge, not only for us, but for a lot of the state, a lot of the states around us, because we keep an eye on everybody's inventory, you know, to see what we're up against.
Sure.
And, you know, it's going to be, I think the market's going to change, because you can imagine, you know, what if you classify your manufacturing space as A being the best, B, C, and D, well, the A and B inventories are gone. And now you're getting down to the ones that, in some cases, I put a fifth category.
Demolish?
Well, that's nice. I call it napalm ready.
Napalm ready. Okay, demolish. Yes, okay, you were right, Ann.
It'd make a great pad.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, speaking of things that have just happened here in Greenwood, and I know this really, I don't know if this is really in the Partnership Alliance, but the very fact that you were able to take the old library and turn it into the Veterans Center, I mean, I've seen it just recently. What a phenomenal change has happened there for the veterans.
Yeah, I think, and you got to give the county credit for that. We weren't involved in that. They had about the only involvement I had was, can you market the building? And really doesn't fit in what I need to market out there. But they, you know, worked with the veterans group and
Carrie Bolt,
and
yep.
Had a great vision, and they figured out how to make it work, and I think it's a phenomenal
change, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
yeah,
it's great.
It is,
and it utilizes a building, you know, close to downtown, that like you say, it eliminates an empty building.
Sure, and that's always what people are looking at. In fact, we do have some properties right up the street from us here, Mark, that you know, we'd like to see filled.
Yeah.
I mean, I love seeing what Gary Russ is doing mm-hmm. down there with that on that end, if we could fill up some of these places here. Is there something happening over there at the old Walmart?
Well, there's rumors of things happening, but I don't know what's going to happen. What I can tell you is on the retail side of development, that's one of the areas that we want to focus on next, because this is still a great traffic count.
Exactly.
You know that.
Sure.
Because you're right here.
Yeah.
Everybody coming from the lake going toward the mall and Kohl's and Ross.
It's going to be right on the way.
They're going to be going right by there. So
I call this the civilized end of the bypass. You know, we're a little more, you know, we don't have all that congestion there. It would be nice to have some businesses.
It'd be nice
there.
To have some more congestion.
Yeah, well, it'd be nice to have some more businesses. I don't think we could fill it like you all have filled it down there at the other end, but yeah.
You never know. I think that is one of the areas that we've kind of said, you can't redevelop everything at one time, so you
sure.
kind of look around and say, what makes sense? And the potential for this to go completely dark is what, you know, motivates us to say it's too good a location.
Absolutely.
And so.
And there's good buildings there.
Yeah, there's good buildings.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think you're right. Gary's going to have a great location over there. I think that's a shot in the arm for doing something with
that
development.
Well, you look at the, it's hard to remember that the old Lowe's was right there, and what
that's
a dilapidated
right.
building, how they've changed the front, and how there's not that deep cavern there, the water spill or whatever it
yep.
was.
Yep.
And then the announcement that the one-stop, the minute stop there is
mm-hmm.
going to be on the corner there. It's going to totally change. And, of course, what County Bank did down there on the
yeah.
other corner.
Well, it's nice because you're right. You know, Gary moving could have left an empty building.
Yes.
But there's somebody coming right behind it, so that is a really good story, and that's really the way you would like to see it happen.
Absolutely. Well, we are here with Mark Warner with the Partnership Alliance. We are going to hear a word from our sponsors, and then we will be right back, so don't you go away.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle.
Gold. Gold! More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need Cash, then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days.
Oh, that's
Saturday,
right. We're back here with Monday, Mark Warner. We are talking about what's happening here in Greenwood. You know, we have, of course, we have what has been going on all around us. And, of course, wasn't the Rural Summit a nice way to present Greenwood to so many people? You know, all the conversation I heard, and I talked to a lot of people while I was there, was I never knew that Greenwood had this right here. So from that standpoint, Mark, how is it in marketing to get business to come here? What are the biggest stumbling blocks, and what are the biggest advantages to working with people from outside our area?
Well, it is a challenge, because if you think about, you know, just say a company that's headquartered in another country, if they're looking to locate something in the U.S., they're probably going to say, do I want to be in the Southeast, the Northeast, the Midwest, the West, you know, a region?
Right.
And they're not saying, okay, looking on a map and say, oh, I see this little place called Greenwood, maybe I ought to investigate it. So you've got to constantly find different avenues to get your story in front of them. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we did with that manufacturing show is, while we were doing the production of that, we generated four different very targeted short, mm-hmm. you know, 3.5, 4.5 minute marketing pieces.
Emailable.
There
you go.
Facebookable.
Right.
I mean, things like that, because, you know, it's hard. You're going to get your message. You're going to hook somebody in the first 30 to 45 seconds.
Absolutely.
And you're not going to hold them for much longer than that. So we tried to take different pieces highlighting, say, companies that need, that use water, or companies that are in the automotive or the metal fabrication sectors. So if I'm targeting a specific industry, you know, I can send them something that they would relate to and have a piece, and it's got a message at the end. If you want to learn more about Greenwood County, contact the Partnership Alliance with our
sure.
phone number, website, email addresses, and all that. So we have started in the last 6 months or so looking at what are the biggest assets that Greenwood County has to market, and our lake and our water system and the excess capacity in the water system is a huge asset for us.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you can imagine where the strategy goes. Okay, now that we know we've got an excess capacity of about 17 million gallons a day of processed water, which is a huge amount. And there's a lot of industries that need water, and now the challenge is, which of those industries are in areas like Atlanta, mm-hmm. Dallas, Fort Worth, you know, the Southwest, where water is getting more and more scarce. We can now go make a case, look at what we can provide you.
Sure.
And, you know, not only with water, but we've got good access to CSX rail system. Our electrical rates stack up as well as anybody's in the country, and you start looking at some of the industries that have gone to China. Well, one of the issues they're having is there's no reliable electrical service. I mean, you can imagine having
how can Apple build iPads there?
Well, that's one that probably doesn't need a lot more than lights. But if you're say wanting to make nylon.
Mm-hmm.
In China, you've got a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week continuous operation, and if you have an unplanned shutdown, you just, you know, ruined a huge investment.
Absolutely.
And so you start looking at, you know, what does a particular industry need, and which companies in that may be ripe to, you know, make a move, and then we try to figure out how to get in front of a decision maker.
Sure. Well, we're going to be talking more with Mark Warner about all these issues. One of the things that I want to know is, you know, we need jobs in our area now. And that, of course, is always a question in the state of South Carolina. Governor Haley certainly has made a lot of announcements of things that are expanding, things that are getting bigger, and things that are coming into our area. But the question is, when will the jobs be here? And that's one of the things that is important for us right here in Greenwood. So when we come back, we're going to talk about that. We're going to see what projects he's come up with now to call things. I understand he has a scalp list here. I'm trying to look at it right while we're sitting here, folks. But Mark seems to have it in gobbledygook, and I can't understand it. So don't you go away. We'll be right back right here on WCRS, right here in Greenwood, South Carolina. News is up, and we'll be back.
From trash to treasures along a country road. Do you love classic country? Do you love to hear the old stuff that nobody plays? Well, we do on Saturday mornings, 9:30 to 12. Yes, it's From Trash to Treasures Along a Country Road. You'll be sure to hear songs you haven't heard for ages and remember all the good times you had. So tune in on Saturday mornings to Trash to Treasures Along a Country Road. I'm Ann Eller. I'll be there. How about you? On WCRS 1450 AM, 9:30 to 12, and on the internet at WLMA.net. Check it out on Saturday, 9:30 to 12, only on WCRS 1450 AM. Classic country, from trash to treasures along a country road.
Right, we're right back here at Sharp Passage Gallery talking with the one and only Mark Warner from the Partnership Alliance. It's hard to tie him down and get him to come on the air with us. I think he likes to be in the smoke. But I got him here today, folks.
I'm not going to outlive that one, am I?
Well, you know, I had, I had Charlie Baroneau, and, you know, he said, Charlie was saying, one of the things that people are always talking about, people would love to see either, spaghetti, not Carrabba's, Olive Garden here in Greenwood. And I said, well, the day that one's coming, it'll be called Project Spaghetti.
We had a project several years ago named Pasta.
Pasta.
Is because we couldn't spell spaghetti.
Okay. Well, there you go. See? So maybe it could be Project Pasta. But what are there? Any other restaurant chains looking at the area right now?
Not that I'm aware of. I really don't get involved in the restaurant side much. There was a lady at a job fair a couple of years ago that during the Q&A in our economic developers panel stood up and said, how come you recruit so many restaurants here? And I said, lady, we don't. They just show up where they think they can make a buck. And I think there are a lot of them that think they can make a buck in this town because we have a lot of places to eat.
And people eat out here.
They
do. There is a very phenomenal about eating out. You know, though, one of the things that always concerns me, Mark, is the fact that we seem to be doing very good on getting the bigger chains. But on the flip side, the smaller retail business just seems to be dying out, and I'm not sure that it's not just here, but everywhere. And I think it's a shame because one of the things that I always liked about Greenwood was the diversity of the small businesses here.
Yeah, and I you're right. You see a lot of small spaces that are closed, but then you see folks like David Lindsay and the Frilly Frog and Sugar that seem to be thriving and. You know, have they found a niche market that they can succeed in? I think that's always a challenge for any size business because your competition is going to be out there. So it's a hard one to deal with.
Sure, it is. I just wanted to mention that because I do think that the diversity and whether it's restaurants, the mom-and-pop type restaurants that have always given a little extra flavor to an area, when you see the sameness of what town you're in and you already know when you walk in the door what you're going to order.
Yeah. I get in my ruts, too. But, you know, I had an interesting conversation with some folks a while back, and, you know, one of the things that they saw on the small businesses that you had a lot of family-owned businesses,
mm-hmm.
that there were, you know, heirs to the family that didn't want to do that.
Yeah, now there's a problem.
That dies a lot off, and some of the discussion was around, and this got kind of hot during the recession time, was all these folks that were out of jobs, you know, how do we connect them? You know, is there a way? And that's something.
People that were capable of running a business,
yeah,
that didn't,
yeah,
have maybe the money to open a business,
right,
but would like to be in business.
Yeah, can they, you know, can you create a sweat equity deal, something where they could eventually.
Can they be adopted?
Yeah, could they be adopted?
Yeah,
I'm still looking for somebody to adopt me. But.
Yeah. That's true.
But, you know, that's a, you know, there's those conversations that happen occasionally that, you know, one day we'll figure out, you know, is that something that can be done?
Sure. But, you know, and it is the whole changing just in the jewelry business. So many mom and pops are, mm-hmm, no longer, I mean, they are just falling like flies all across our country. So I think it's a shame, and someday I think we're going to look back on this and say, you know, wish we had more of those small businesses.
Yeah, I mean, you may, and you know, and as our population evolves, and
isn't that an interesting word we're using now, evolve?
Yeah,
everybody's,
yeah,
using evolve.
I mean, you look at some areas. I mean, I saw an article about. The grocery business, I think it was in Korea, and you basically could take your smart handheld device, phone, whatever you call them these days, and go to the website of this grocery chain,
and they would deliver.
Order, mm-hmm, and they delivered virtually on the hour,
yes,
all through the
is.
Day, and you know, I think at some point we may see larger grocery stores in some communities where it makes sense, going back to the neighborhood, you know, grocery.
Sure. I agree.
I think everything will go
cycle.
In cycles.
Yes, I think so. They say that about fashion, and we've seen it many times before. But now, what type of businesses do you have on your list that could be coming our way here, that you said you had quite a group that you had the hot list going here?
We have some automotive, we have some chemical, we have some retail, we have some bioenergy projects out there. I was trying to think of a couple that haven't gotten officially on the hot list just because I haven't updated it today. There's some building products out there that have some LEED certification tied to it. It's still pretty diverse, which I think is a key to any area. I mean, we're living history of what happens when you're tied to one industry.
Areas could become, you know, these tire places that they're going in, they're huge facilities, but they,
yeah,
are going to suck up just about all of the workforce.
It's got that potential. You know, they're saying once Bridgestone, Continental, and Michelin ramp up their latest announcements, I think by 2013, South Carolina will be the largest tire-producing state in the nation.
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge, absolutely.
Yeah. And we know Bridgestone was at our job fair a couple of weeks ago, about a month ago now,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
ZF over in Lawrence, they were here. You know, it's workforce is, it's regional. I mean, you know, we talked about earlier about how many people commute in and commute out. I mean, we share workforce, particularly with Lawrence County and Abbeville County. And even though we each have our own economic development offices, we all know that, you know, any one of us that lands a project, it's going to provide jobs throughout the region.
Yes, and you know, one of the other interesting aspects is whatever industry comes, there's always little feeder industries that have to feed,
mm-hmm,
that industry. So,
yeah,
you know, hopefully we'll end up with more. But what type of timetable would you be looking at if one of these projects came through out of five or two? What would be your average that you would expect out of this group that you have going right now?
Oh, to start a production from now? Could be as quick as the end of this year.
Mm-hmm.
I've got one that's projecting they've got to make a decision. They've got a spring of 2013 start a production date, and I've got another one that is a 2015 start of production. So it varies, and it varies by the industry, the size of the facility.
Sure. But how many out of those would you, as you look at your hot list, what would be the potential? What would you feel good about saying that we, out of five, we should snag two, out of five, we should snag all five? What are you thinking, Mark, as you look at this list? I mean, it'd be nice to say all five, but that's not realistic.
Well, I've learned not to predict.
Yeah. But when you've been doing this, you have seen that maybe out of five you get one, or you know what type of relationship does, or how many things do you have to have going in order to generate one or two?
That's a great question. I really haven't looked at it that way. I mean, typically, and we may have talked about this in an earlier show, about 80% of the jobs and the capital investment that you tend to get come from your existing employers mm-hmm. expanding. And I feel a little better about those.
Sure.
In some cases, you know, some of those are still waiting on final customer approval for additional capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like, the only thing I can compare it to is when you buy or sell a house. You know, you really celebrate when you sign a contract, but it ain't done until you close and the money changes hands.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
That's I've been real, real conservative about saying, well, just use Project Smoke.
Right.
You know, I'm real conservative about saying, yeah, it's done until it truly is.
Until they're bulldozing the ground and, you know, the signs are up, Mark.
That's a pretty good.
I think you could go out there on the line now, Mark.
That's a pretty good sign. I feel fairly comfortable with that.
You feel comfortable with that. All right. Well, we are here with Mark Warner. We are talking about some projects. We're talking about potential business coming into this area. When we come back, I want to ask him about our workforce. What are some of the strong points of our workforce? What are the things that we're looking at that may need to be addressed as our workforce? And we have a large, middle-aged workforce mm-hmm. that, of course, used to work at the mills, and how that's adapting and how that's working out. So I hope you'll stay right with us right here on WCRS, right here in Greenwood. We're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors and be right back.
You can hold me when I hold you. Feels so right. You can't be wrong. Rocking and rolling.
Does this make sense? We buy your gold, diamonds, jewelry, coins, sterling silver at the highest prices, paying extra for fine jewelry and quality. And we're always buying your diamonds and colored stones, too. But we sell at the lowest prices, from diamonds to gemstone jewelry to sterling silver pieces and antique and estate jewelry. Always lowest prices for quality jewelry. See us today, Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, 229-6613.
That's right. We're right back here with Mark Warner. He is the Partnership Alliance point man. When you want to know what's going on and you don't want to have somebody give you a black and white answer, just go to Mark Warner. Oh, that's right. We have Mark here. We're having a good time, though. Seriously, I know.
Thank
there's
you for that compliment.
Well, I did try to give you one here today. It is, you are in a tough position, though, because you can't expose your hand as far as dealing with people. We all understand that, but we also would, you know, maybe we could develop a clue system where you give out clues, and we could guess, and there could be a prize for the one that guessed it.
Richard Whiting would love that because he is playing that all the time.
Exactly. So, but anyways, maybe we could do something like that. But, you know, part of the thing you tell me that you, in fact, today you were telling me you were filling out a 20-page questionnaire about Greenwood for this company that's looking at coming here. That has to be a daunting task. And as you're doing these questionnaires, I'm sure they bring up questions in your own mind about Greenwood as you're doing this kind of stuff. But what do you think are the, how is our workforce? You know, we hear in South Carolina that workforce is part of the problem. I've had the gals from Workforce on here talking about the training. Piedmont Tech has put so much effort and is helping up there in Lawrence with that new project up there. So what do you think about our workforce?
Well, you know, a lot of the folks you just mentioned, the South Carolina Works Group and Piedmont Tech, they're great partners for us, and they do a phenomenal job in helping us win projects, and we appreciate everything we get from them. I think workforce is behind, and you know, we talked about, you know, running short on inventory of buildings.
Right.
I think workforce is the other thing that worries me, and I think, you know, we've talked about it before, but we got a lot of folks that don't see manufacturing as a real career choice, and I know there's a lot of reasons that people
except manufacturing do that. Today is not like the manufacturing of 20 and 30 years ago. It's basically clean industry now.
Yes.
Versus working in the cotton mills and coming out with cotton and everything and all the stuff. It's totally different. It's a lot of computer work. It's running machines, robots.
Yeah, it takes, I mean, that's the key to being successful is making more widgets with less inputs, and sometimes that does mean less labor, but that means more automation. That means more training
quality
and
labor.
Skills needed, which means higher wages. So it's still for somebody that wants a career choice where they can be challenged and they can, and most of our companies want people to come in and be engaged and make decisions like they own the company and learn and get involved, it's a great place to be. I've been in manufacturing myself for almost 25 years and absolutely love that career. And there's a spirit there where, you know, you never turn down business. You're always trying to figure out how to make it faster, better, less costly. You know, the days of saying, well, I can give you what you want. We used to have this old joke that you can have it good, fast, or cheap. Pick two.
Pick two out of three?
Yeah.
Two out of three ain't bad is what they used to say.
Yeah, but today you got to do all three.
Exactly.
And that's the challenge, and we compete not only in South Carolina but in the region and the nation and globally. So it's tough. But that being said, I think one of our biggest challenges is how do we get people to see that as a career choice and get people going that way? Because I think, I'll just go back. We mentioned the job fair about a month ago. We had over 70 companies, organizations at the job fair that had jobs to fill right then.
It's phenomenal, isn't it?
It's phenomenal. And we hear people saying, well, there are no jobs out there, but like, well, there's 70 something companies that were here in Greenwood looking to hire people. And I think that's great. And we talked to that, you know, we have a panel discussion there, and they all want to know, what do we do to get ready? Learn how to learn. You know, work on your education, get more skills, polish that resume, practice that interview. Because you don't want to be on your first interview not having thought about how you're going to answer the questions.
That's true. And, you know, it is an engaging process, and knowing about the company that you're going to interview for, I mean, that is something that is just so, so important. Why would you want to work at this company, you know? Is it just about a job, or is there something that makes it, because they're looking for people that want to be engaged in the work.
Yeah, and it's still, you know, you want to call it an employer's market, it probably still is, and that means there's going to be several people that you're competing with. I used to hire people. I was in HR a long time ago. And
one of the toughest jobs around.
Whew, tell me about it.
It is.
But, you know, when you got down to two or three candidates to fill a job, a particular job, every one of those candidates would work.
Right.
They were all qualified. And what about, you know, what was it that one person displayed in the interview that made you say, that's the one I want versus the other ones?
Absolutely.
And it's, you know, you sell yourself. And
so that's why I guess the education, you know, the other thing we've seen is so many kids going back to school that have four-year college degrees, mm-hmm. going back and getting into manufacturing or HVAC or engineering or automobile technology. I mean,
yeah.
you know, all of these things are just totally different fields.
Give you a couple of numbers. And these are companies that need CNC operators. That's computer numerical control operators, which they can get credentials right down the road at Piedmont Tech.
Okay.
For this. ZF in Lawrence. They're looking for about 1,200 right now.
1,200 people.
1,200 people.
Wow.
And you heard Borg Warner at the Rural Summit.
Mm-hmm.
Plant manager's name, I'll remember it once I leave here. I'm sure it escapes me right now. But anyway, Bennington is his name. He had 47 CNC machining position openings right then. And he's having trouble finding them.
See, now, and yet that's a quality job.
Yes.
That's not a that's not an $8 or $10 an hour job.
No.
I mean, that's the point that I think a lot of people miss.
Yeah.
Those jobs are, what kind of price range?
Probably going to be $18 to $20 mid-range and can top out at $21, $22.
That's a good job.
It's a good job.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a really good job.
Sign me up! Absolutely, yeah, that's a good job. So,
I mean, so there's, you know, almost 1,300 jobs that are looking to be filled right now in this region.
And they're having trouble filling them.
And they're having trouble filling them.
So if you are out there needing a job, what do they need to do, Mark?
Get with actually a company called HTI. Out of Greenville is doing the recruiting for ZF. I'm sure you can go to their website or ZF's website or talk to your folks at the South Carolina Works offices. They all can get you connected and tell you what to do. I know HTI has held several job fairs outside of the job fair that the SC Works folks did. And the other one, I know they're down in Aiken, but Bridgestone was at our job fair.
Mm-hmm.
They're hiring people too. And I mean, the jobs are out there. It's just a matter of
you just have to work a little bit to get them.
Yeah, and
this
it's
is
work.
WCRS right here in Greenwood. Go ahead, right now. There you go.
And it's work when you get there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes, you know, a lot of people have gotten kind of down on themselves because it hasn't been easy to find a job.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have industries that are looking for. Now, are they looking for the young person? Is that who they want to hire? What about our we're just going to carry over here for a second. What about our middle-aged people that need jobs?
I don't think it really matters to them.
Okay.
It matters that you have the knowledge and the credentials, and you know, the other thing they all look for is you need to show up on time, put in a good day's work, be engaged, and I like to say play nice in the sandbox with others.
Absolutely.
Because everybody these days, they use some sort of team-based approach to problem solving, even to managing themselves, and we've got to, you know, I used to tell folks that work for me is we don't have to like each other, but we've got to work together.
Absolutely.
And that's all that matters.
Sure.
You know,
and if you need education, now for some of these jobs, you might have to go to Piedmont Tech.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about getting certified in what was that now?
CNC. Basically, it'd be through their machining program.
Okay.
Machine tool, machine tech.
Well, that sounds like if you're trying to figure out what type of job to or what type of career path to take, that regardless of whether you qualify for these jobs or not, that would be a good area to be headed in.
Sure. The other one that has historically been one that people are looking for people are is welding. And welding ain't the welding that it used to be either. It's a lot of computer control operations now. And then you think about with the nuclear plants in the region that have been going through the permitting process, there are not too many people out there that built nuclear plants still working.
That's true.
So that's another one that's going to be, a pretty high demand. And those jobs pay even more.
That's right. You know, and Piedmont Tech has an excellent welding program out there.
That they do.
Yes, they do.
That they do.
So check with the folks out there at Piedmont Tech. And, of course, Mark, it has been, as always, a pleasure to get you seated down across from me to talk about things. I don't know if we exposed anything here today, but we have had some good conversation about things that are happening. And the biggest thing I guess we should take away from this is that you have a hot list there, and out of that, something's going to come through.
Yeah, I think it is. And if you like numbers, just in the hot list, if all of them hit, it creates almost 700 jobs, and it creates almost $350 million in capital investment.
And that would be good to be able to report.
That would be great to be able to report.
All right. It's a great day in South Carolina, right?
Yes, it is.
Hey, Mark Warner, thanks for stopping by here today.
Thanks, Ann. My pleasure.
All right. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Hey, we're going to hear a word from our sponsors. Listen to the end of South Carolina News Fox News. And then I'll be back for happy hour. Hallelujah. It's finally here.